He told me 2 years ago, him and about five other people, through the word of knowledge, were given a name, Mr. Wong, to go to a place in Qingdao, Shandong. That's where the great Shandong revival that the Southern Baptists had in 1932. So they went there to pray for Mr. Wong. When they arrived there, they knocked on the door. This is a word of knowledge. You didn't know the guy. They said, "Who are you looking for?" "Well, Mr. Wong." "Oh, I'm sorry to tell you, Mr. Wong just died 3 days ago." Mr. Wong, he was a famous general in the People's Liberation Army. He was an old man, and he'd fought with the Americans in the Korean War, so you know how old he is. And he was sick, and he died. And now, because he was so famous, they kept his body in wake for all the friends and the communists to come to look at his body. And they're about to bury his body. And they said, "But the Lord told us to come to pray for Mr. Wong." "Well, you're 3 days too late. If you came 3 days, you might have saved the guy, but he's dead." And they went up to the body, and they said, "The Lord told us to tell you to pray for you, and you need to open your eyes and come back." And, you know, nothing happened. And they said, these people are crazy. Who are they? But they prayed for 20 minutes. And all of a sudden, Mr. Wong coughed. He coughed. And he opened his eyes. And, you know, people almost fainted because he's been dead for 3 days. And he said in Chinese, "Zhen ke pa, zhen ke pa." How terrible, how terrible. He got up. What was so terrible? He said, "I went to this awful place. I saw people, and they were burning in fires, and there were worms in the people, and the worms were still gnawing at them. The worms were not dying. I saw pots of boiling oil, and people were in there being tortured, and they were praying and crying for salvation, but there was no hope. And I knew that I was lost, because I never believed in God. I was a communist. I knew I was lost, and I would be here forever and ever, and I felt so hopeless. And I was there, I don't know for how long, trying to find a place to hide from all this torture and flames and screaming. And then I heard someone call my name, 'Mr. Wong, come back.' And here I am." Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord raised him from the dead. He began to preach. He led so many people to the Lord. The communists said, well, they didn't really believe in miracles, but they said, "It's good that Mr. Wong was sick and now he's recovered. But now something's gone with his mind. Why would he believe in superstitious and religion?" And so many people got saved. They arrested him, put him in prison. He was only in prison for 6 months. He converted everybody in the prison, prayed for the sick. They got mad, kicked him out. He's preaching the gospel, and now he's led about 10,000 people to the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is the New Testament gospel. This is what it was meant to be like. Because he has given us the power. He says, "I will send the power of the Holy Spirit, and you wait until you're redeemed with power." Now, let me just talk very briefly. I'm going to be covering various subjects, but I'm trying to make it quick because of the time. We need to receive gifts of the Holy Spirit. How are gifts of the Holy Spirit are given to us? They're imparted. They're imparted by other people. In fact, the word preaching is more than giving you information. You're imparting the living word of God when you're preaching under the anointing and preaching the word of God. And so I trust in this conference, all these tremendous sermons and the sermons on Sermon Index are imparting life unto you. Then men and women of God, they'll come and they will pray for you. And they'll prophesy and they will impart gifts of the Spirit to you. This is part of our ministry in China. We've done it for many years. I've been doing this for 42 years. Paul said, "I want to see you in Jerusalem, not to see the sights, not to see the Colosseum or the Arc of Triumph. I want to impart unto you spiritual gifts that you can be established, to impart spiritual gifts." And then he had a spiritual son called Timothy. He said, "Timothy, I charge you that you will make warfare according to the prophecies that went before you." I was in Vietnam, and you can get my book. A man called David Chuck prophesied that I would go to Vietnam. Not a hair on my head would be harmed. And that literally happened. I was as bold as a lion because I knew this prophet had never been wrong, had never missed. Bullets were inches from my head. The airplane I took to Vietnam, 120 people, almost 100 died. Most of them were injured. I didn't even get a Purple Heart, though I saw dead bodies every day. And I was in dangerous place with the 1st Air Cavalry because the Word of God. I stood by the Word of God. And so I was bold to preach the gospel. And you can read about that in the book if you want to get it. And so these prophecies are real. They will give you ammunition to fight a warfare. And then the thing is that we get the gifts, we get the anointing, but we neglect it because we get busy and we don't pray and whatever. So he says, don't neglect the gift that was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the elders. This is what we do in China. We bring in prophetic ministries. We do this all the time. And we prayed over hundreds of people, and gifts are imparted to them. So many groups, like one group that I showed in the video, I'm going to show in a few minutes, had in 1980 had 20,000 people, has grown to 5 million believers. 20,000 to 5 million from 1980. Why? Because of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And he says, meditate on these things and let your progress be known to all. And then he says in 2 Timothy 1:6 to stir up the gift of God that was given with the laying on of hands. Stir it up. It means to make the fire even burn brighter. Put fuel on the firewood. And that's what it says in Chinese, you know, yu huo qiao wang. So make the fire burn greater. We have fire, but we need more brighter. And God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and of a sound mind. Because Timothy is going to take over the church at Ephesus that has grown to be a huge church with multiple congregations. You know, it began with 12 people in Acts 19. This morning I talked about Paul when he said, have you received the Holy Spirit when you begin? When you believed, he taught on the Holy Spirit. 12 people spoke in tongues and prophesied. That church grew to thousands and tens of thousands of people. And he's given it to Timothy because he's going to go and he'll go to Jerusalem and suffer for the Lord. But Timothy, be fearful. So he said, you need the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid. Now, these are a few of the tens of thousands of missionaries from the West that went to China, laid down their lives so that salvation could come to the tens of millions of Chinese. I have a whole video about that, but don't have the time. But I'd like to ask you, will you follow in their footsteps and complete the Great Commission to evangelize the world? I love history. I study it all the time, you know. And we're just recipients of what the missionaries did in the 18th and the 19th century. We would not have a church today in China had not those people gone and sowed the seed and gave their life. Now, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 that they're like a cloud of witnesses round about us. Not only the witnesses in the Bible, the book of Hebrews, and many other Bible characters, but witnesses throughout history. Some failed, some were discouraged, some were weak, but they testify. They say that I made it. I was faithful to the call. And so the Bible says we need to lay aside every weight and the sin that ensnares us, because with the sin, a heavy weight, you cannot run that race. And he says, we need to run the race. Can you imagine running a race, an Olympic, marathon, people running a race with a big backpack of 20 pounds on their back? They would never get anywhere. Lay aside that sin that ensnares you for the sake of running the race and saving the lost. I love this scripture. Jesus rose from the dead in John chapter 20, 21 to 22. And they're fearful because Jesus was crucified. Maybe the Jewish leaders are looking for them. So Jesus says, peace unto you. And then he gave them a missionary commission. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Jesus was a missionary. You're a missionary. And maybe they said, well, Jesus, we don't know if we can do it or not. The Bible doesn't say they said that, but they might have thought that. How can we go there looking for us? You've been crucified. That Jesus, and he said that. He breathed on them. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. The breath of God wants to breathe on you. This is the key to missions. You go to Africa, India, you go to South America, you go to China, you go to Korea. It's spirit-filled people that are at the forefront of preaching the gospel. Now you get on the internet and you can see all the attacks, all the criticisms of every spirit-filled minister. We just expect that. But none of those people are doing anything. I learned a lot from a man called Ralph Mahoney. He put out a book called The Shepherd's Staff, the second most popular book in China after the Bible. We've taken in tens of thousands of copies. A wonderful teaching book. It's in English and Chinese and many languages. Ralph Mahoney said, the people that criticize you will never support you. And the people that support you will not criticize you. So don't worry about the criticism. There'll always be opposition. Those people will never support you anyhow. Forget about it. Praise the Lord. Proclaim what God has given to you. Make sure you're teaching the truth, that you're not taking scripture out of context, that you live a godly life. But go forward. There will be criticism. We need the Holy Spirit. At 5, I had a love for the Chinese. My first friend was a Chinese young person that came from China. And I'd always loved the Chinese. I have four sisters and two brothers. And I was the first one to get saved in my family at 16. I prayed for them all. And most of them are serving the Lord. My two brothers are pastors. One was a missionary before in Peru. Now he's back in San Diego. The other brother, Douglas, has a powerful prophetic ministry. Has a Bible school called Berea Bible School in San Diego. My mother went to be with the Lord. But the rest of my family, my father's 90 years old. And my wife just visited the family recently. So the Lord tells you that you believe in the Lord and you and your household will be saved. So many of my nephews and nieces are now following in my footsteps and preaching the gospel. When I was 16, I saw the work of the Holy Spirit. I gave my life to the Lord, and I knew I must be a missionary. In fact, God called me. What happens is I went to a church. I heard people speaking in French and Hebrew. I knew it was a miracle. I'd never seen that before. I saw sick people getting healed. I was a Methodist. I'd never seen a miracle in the Methodist church. I hadn't even heard anyone say, "You must be born again." I went home that night, and I heard God speak to me, "My son, I want you to preach the gospel." I've been praying for 16 years old, for 16 years from now, well, maybe at least from the time, I remember at least for 13 years from the time I was 3 years old. And I knew the voice of God. He said, "Son, I want you to preach the gospel." I said, "No, I want to be a scientist. I want to be a physicist. I don't want to preach the gospel. I'm shy. I don't have money. My parents are poor." I had all the excuses. But God didn't listen to my excuses. And every night, he would say to me, "I want you to preach the gospel." And he wouldn't let me sleep. I'd go out and walk up and down the street night after night, hour after hour, arguing with God, "I will never preach the gospel. I'll be a Christian. I will go to church. I'll pay my tithes. I will love you. But I will not be a preacher. I'm going to be a scientist." After 3 months, my friend invited me back to church the second time. I was really anxious to go. We got there late. We sat at the back. The pastor's wife was leading the songs. She said, "There's something wrong with this song. Let's sing another song." And then she stopped. She said, "No, nothing wrong with the song." She said, "It's not that the song's not anointed. There's a young man that came here 3 months ago. God called you to preach the gospel, and you have been resisting for 3 months." She said, "Unless you come forward and repent and give your life to the Lord to be a preacher, we're not going to sing any more songs. The choir's not going to sing. The pastor's not going to preach. They're not even going to take the offering." So I thought, man, I'm stopping the whole meeting. And she says, "You know who you are, and I know who you are. But to save you embarrassment, I'm not going to have you stand up. You need to come forward." I said, "I cannot get away from this God." So I went forward, knelt down. Praise the Lord. They honored the Holy Spirit. It was 11:30. The prayer meeting, I was not only the one praying. Other people were praying. It went on to 1:30. The pastor never preached. The choir never sang. They never took the offering. But Dennis Balkin got saved and became a preacher. Praise the Lord. I'm glad for a church that honors the Holy Spirit. Amen. Does your pastor honor the Holy Spirit? Would you put aside a sermon if God was speaking? That church did. And praise the Lord, I got saved. I began preaching the next day, and I haven't stopped to this day. But I knew I cannot stay in America. No way! So many churches and Christians. I must go to some nation. I said, "Lord, where?" Africa, India, South America. I was just saying, "Lord, please tell me." And one day, God speaks to me, "I will send you to Red China, to Communist China." And the scripture, of course, is asking me, "And I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession." And I wanted something difficult and possible because I'd seen so many miracles. And I said, "Lord, I know you're going to give me China." Everyone said, "It will never happen. China's communist. They don't have missionaries in China." I said, "God will give me China." If you told anybody that, they say, "You're crazy." I didn't tell people that because you're crazy. No one can go to China. But I went to a church, a Lateran church in Long Beach, and this man passed away a few years ago. But he's an accurate prophet. He prophesied major prophecies of world events, like the United States would lose the Vietnam War, the assassination of President Kennedy. We know it. I knew it in 1962. It happened in 1963. It was never wrong. A word of knowledge. He would tell people to stand up. He would describe in great detail their condition, their sickness, and the call of God. I was in his church for 5 years, but he didn't know me. He said, "Young man, God's going to send you to China." And this man started Glad Tidings in Vancouver. At that time, a very big church. He prophesied. And then from his church came a woman called Violet Kiteley, and she came to Oakland and started a church. And this was when I was only 21 years old, and it was only a few dozen people. She built the church to about 1,000 people, gave it to her son. Her son built it to about 2,000. He gave it to his son, and now it's about 3,000 or 4,000 people. One generation after the next generation. Praise the Lord. So we don't keep on the ministry. We give it to the next generation. Your family members are the best. Once you reach 60, that's it. You can release the church to someone else and you need to travel. Otherwise, you keep on preaching, and when you die, the church will die with you. So when I reached 60, I gave the church to my daughter and son-in-law. This is my family. Michael's in the States. And now even our grandchildren have a call to preach the gospel. I told my children, when you get married, you must get married to Chinese, which they did, because they were raised as Chinese, speaking Chinese as their mother tongue. And the Lord told us in John chapter 4 to lift up your eyes and look on the fields, because they're ripe to harvest. That's my message I'm going to share this morning about China. It's ripe unto harvest. Now, you know, the Lord is in control of history. He's the Alpha and Omega. History is His story. You can see all these historical things, ancient Babylon, ancient Rome, and the Athens and Greece and modern. The Lord's in charge of everything. Now, the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost to the church at Jerusalem, Acts 1:8. But Acts 8:1 is years later, and they didn't go anywhere. So God had to raise up another church, the church at Antioch. And God raised up Paul and Barnabas. So we had two exceptions. Philip went to Samaria, and Peter went to Caesarea. And Philip preached to the Samaritans, you know, just a few hours a day by road. And Caesarea was just also a few hours a day by road to the Romans. But God raised up Paul and Barnabas. They first went to Asia Minor, which we call Turkey today, and then in Acts chapter 16, Paul had the Macedonian vision, took the gospel to Greece, and then later on to Rome, and the Roman Empire became so-called Christian, but after the Reformation in the 16th century, praise the Lord, the England turned to the Lord, missionaries went to North and South America and Africa, and then in the 20th century, the gospel came back to Asia. Two-thirds of all the people of the world live in Asia, the most unreached people with the greatest revivals. We have great revival. Indonesia, 33% Christian right now. China, mainland China, 10% Christian. Korea, over 30% Christian. India is only about 5 or 6, but it is growing. Praise the Lord. We have the largest numbers of unreached people. And our church has this called Back to Jerusalem vision to take the gospel to the unreached nations, mostly Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, communists that haven't heard the gospel, and then from there to go to the Middle East and go back to Jerusalem, because He said to go into all the world and to make disciples of all nations and baptize them. Now, nations means ethnic groups. It doesn't mean just political entities like the United States and Cuba and Canada. It means ethnic groups. And we see in the book of Revelation, they're standing before the throne and they're worshiping God and they're saying, "You've redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation." Now, it's interesting. These are some of the groups in China you can think about. Most don't have much gospel instance. There's a Zhuang in Guangxi, 16.1 million people. These are not Chinese people. There's a Manchu. They used to rule China in the Qing Dynasty, 10 million people. Hui, they're mostly Muslims in northeast China, 9.8 million people. Uyghurs are also Muslims, but they look like Europeans. 8.4 million people. Here are the Tujia, which is 8 million people. We're working there among the E, 7.7 million people. Mongolians, remember in the Genghis Khan, they controlled all of Asia, much of Europe. And now in Chinese Mongolia, there's 5.8 million people. Most are waiting to be reached. Some of you don't have the Bible. That's our commission today. And so we have about 1.34 billion people officially in China, probably it's closer to 1.45 or 1.5 billion people. 6% are not Chinese. Han are the main race, and there's 80 million people. Well, the good news is that, praise the Lord, I spoke this morning about restoration. We're in the time of restoration, and the church leaves Babylon and religious tradition and returns to the principles of the book of Acts. The gospel will be preached in to all the nations, and eventually it will go back to Jerusalem. This is the final stop. When the gospel goes to Jerusalem, you can be sure Jesus will come very soon. But we're a long ways from that, a long ways from that, because many, many Muslims and many other people haven't heard. People are praying at the Great Wall. I'm going there next week, by the way, you know. Go every year to Jerusalem. I'm going there to preach to the Chinese, because a huge group of Chinese there, you know. I'm not going to be with the Westerners, but I love Jerusalem. And we'll go to the Great Wall, and people are, not the Great Wall, the Wailing Wall, the Western Wall. People are praying for Jesus to come back. He'll not come back until the gospel has been preached. Now, Abraham had a covenant, and we're the receiving the blessing of that covenant because we're in Abraham. If you see the letters in red, are we call it the top line. That is the blessing that we receive. That's where most churches in the West are living at. The Lord says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. And I'm going to bless those that bless you. And I'm going to curse those that curse you. That's the top line. That's where 90% of Christians are living. I want to get saved. I want to go to heaven. I want to be healed. I want to be prosperous. The bottom line, which I'm all about, and a lot of you are about, is this. That you're going to be a blessing. And all the families of the earth will be blessed. Praise the Lord. We know in Galatians that there's not many seeds, but one seed, Jesus Christ. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, this is a time of harvest, a mission. When I was young, much of the world was closed. A brother from Romania, I've been to Romania many times, working with Daniel Mateia in Timisoara. He's been in China many times. They love him, you know. And I went to Russia when it first opened. And I've been to most nations in Eastern Europe, in fact, about all of them, and Russia many, many times. When I was young, you couldn't go to these places. They were not open to the gospel. China was not open, with the exception of maybe North Korea. Almost all the world, there's places where you can go and preach the gospel. There's an open door. We talked about the tabernacle of David, key of David, worship and praise. And he says, I open a door and no man can shut it. Hallelujah. Huh? Now, to be a missionary, you need a bond with the people. Paul to the Jews became as a Jew, to the Greeks as a Greek. And he said, I became all things to all men. This is so important. So become a missionary. You learn to preach in the language of the people. You become one with them. And so that's what we did. I live in Hong Kong, southern China. And we speak a language called Cantonese, which is one of the oldest languages in the world. And it's kind of like a living fossil. If you went back in a time tunnel thousands of years ago, they'd be speaking what we speak. It has seven different tones. So the national language is Mandarin. And I'm going to teach you some Mandarin because it's a little bit harder. Now, this is Mandarin. This is John 3:16. That's the easy language. Cantonese, which has 7 to 9 tones, is a little more tonal. And how we learn a lot of these things is we sing them. We like to sing the Bible. This is how we sing John 3:16. Isn't it nice to sing Chinese? Now, I'm going to teach you a very simple song. This song has four words to it. And goi. Goi means thank you in Cantonese. This song has come, believe Jesus now. Repeat after me. Lai. Xin. Yesu. Xin sai. What those marks are actually the tones, okay? Now I'm going to teach you a simple Chinese phrase. Come and believe in Jesus. Lai xin yesu. Can you say that? Lai xin yesu. Then come and believe in Jesus now. Lai xin yesu xian zai. Lai xin yesu xian zai. Now, okay? And then we just reverse it. Now come and believe in Jesus. Xian zai lai xin yesu, everybody. Xin zai lai xin yesu. Chinese is one of the easiest languages in the world. It's the most widely spoken language in the world. It's spoken by more than any other language. And all over the world, people are learning Chinese because China's opening up. It's becoming an economic superpower. And people doing business, I go to France, I go to Portugal, I go to Indonesia. Everybody's learning Chinese. And young people want to learn Chinese. And it's not hard to learn. I'm going to teach you a very simple song, Lai Xin. Yes, so you listen to me sing the first time and you sing the second time. Lai Xin Yesu, Lai Xin Yesu, Lai Xin Yesu, Xin Zai, Xin Zai, Lai Xin Yesu, Lai Xin Yesu, Xin Zai. Everybody, Lai Xin Yesu, Lai Xin Yesu, Lai xin yesu xin zai, lai xin yesu, lai xin yesu xin zai, lai xin yesu, lai xin yesu, lai xin yesu xin zai, shen sai lai shen yesu, lai shen yesu shen sai. Oh, you sing great Chinese. Amen. I mean, some of you are called to China. You know, every city in China, major city, has no less than 3,000 foreign missionaries. But they're not called missionaries. They're students, they're teachers, they're businessmen. They're everywhere. China has opened for the gospel. Yet, 80% of the Chinese people haven't heard the gospel. We need thousands and thousands and thousands of missionaries. India is the same. The world is open. And, you know, so frustrating to come to North America and Europe because people have no vision. God has opened the doors. It's been a miracle. But, you know, the Mormons are flooding. The Jehovah's Witnesses. I took the plane from San Francisco back to Hong Kong a few months ago. And 80% of the people on this modern plane, probably 380 people, were Mormon missionaries. And I know they're going to flood China. You want to see a single Protestant missionary. You know, myself and my wife are one of the very few missionaries that actually preach in Cantonese. The church has no vision for the world. We're going to regret when we wake up someday and find us a Mormon world, a Jehovah's Witness world, a world controlled by cults. You see, the harvest is ripe. Whoever first gets there will preach. That's why I thank the Lord. This trip to China came on Monday evening. I'm going to be back in Hong Kong on Tuesday, even considering the time change, you know. 1 week is enough for me in North America. I like to be here, but I want to be where the harvest is. I want to be where people want Jesus Christ. And I encourage you, Chinese is not that hard to learn. I'm not going to teach you because of the time, some Chinese. And let me show a little bit about the church in China. I want to show a video. These are our meeting places, okay? We meet in the open, meet in people's homes. Most people in the West meet in church buildings, but in China, we usually meet in the home. And what sometimes we meet out in the open, like for a special meeting, maybe Chinese New Year, some kind of an event, and we'll have 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 people. Now you say, won't the police arrest them? Well, how can you arrest 6,000 people? You know, you don't have enough jails to put 6,000 people. So some in jail. So, you know, we kind of threaten the police. You dare arrest us, you know, we have 6,000 people. It's going to be bad for you. It'll be world news. So we do that quite often. We had to disguise ourselves. This is me back in the 18 years ago, you know, with a face mask and a dark glasses and a hat, because no one is blonde hair and white skin there. This is my daughter. But quite often I'm disguised as a corpse. They put me in a casket. I've been in a casket many, many, many times in and out of the villages. And that's one of my main modes of transportation in and out of China. Almost discovered a few times. But this is back in the 80s and the 90s. I don't do it so much right now. This is a meeting in the cave. There's a video called The Finger of God. You can get it on YouTube. You'll see more about this. This is Brother Yun, the heavenly man's wife. Here I'm teaching people usually about 10 hours a day for 5 days in one area. Then you go to another area. Huh? Now, this part of China, this group in 1980 had 20,000 members. It's called the Fengshan Fellowship, and it's now grown to 5 million believers. This is the New Testament church. This part is called Fengcheng, and this is where Hudson Taylor ministered before. We call it the Jesus Nest, where about 20% of the people are Christians. I was detained by the police just a few months ago, and even they told me that Christians are everywhere here. And here we're preaching to 4,000 people in the open, and the people in the back came to the Lord. This is the heavenly man, some of the preachers, me teaching the people. I'm praying for them to receive the Holy Spirit. I'll show a video in a few minutes about that. I've seen thousands and thousands and thousands of people receive the Holy Spirit. This is, I was a little bit thinner then back in 1990. And these brothers, when I took this picture, had 3,000 in their church in 1990. Now I read them recently, their church has grown to 300,000. That's the way the church is supposed to grow, with the power of the gospel. Brother Yun was an uneducated preacher and in Henan, and the Holy Spirit taught him and used him. He escaped from China in 1998, and he has a book called The Heavenly Man by Paul Hathaway. This has been the best Christian seller for many, many years. And now Brother Yun goes around the world preaching the gospel and evangelism and speaking about China. He can't go back to China, but he goes all over the world. I have a church in Paris. I go there once or twice a year. And then I usually go to Germany, and I minister with Brother Yun, and his son Isaac has taken over the work. And Brother Yun is so bold. Here's a picture with President Bush and his wife. I'm an American. I've never had a picture taken with the president. This guy, the Lord opens doors for him. Just a simple, humble preacher And there's a sister called Xiaoming. When I prayed for her, she received the Holy Spirit. God has given her a gift of writing songs. She's written over 1,200 songs, the most beautiful songs, sung all over the world by the Chinese church. And she doesn't know music. She has only a primary school education. This is another miracle. Now, these are testimonies. And going on back to Hebrews, it said these people obtained a good testimony, but they didn't receive the promise. He is like a relay race. They ran part of it, and now they've given us the baton, and we need to run it. If we let the baton down, if we go off into a false doctrine, like Pastor David was telling us, and don't preach Jesus and don't preach repentance, we're letting them down. The race will not be finished. God will find another generation to raise up. But I think that we can do it. Praise the Lord, because the Bible says that God has provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. We need to continue on. And Jesus says to his disciples, if you leave your house and parents and brethren and wife and children for the kingdom of God's sake, you'll receive manifold in this time, but you'll receive in the world to come everlasting life. Once again, this is the most important prophecy about the last time. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then will the end come. Before that gospel is then preached with demonstration, the end will not come. Disciples will face persecution. Before I go to that, I'd like you to put on the video. It's video number 2 about Henan, old and new. This is, I put a video together just a few minutes, okay? And push on the top, just go there to where the, this, yeah, that one there. No, that right, the yellow one. Okay, and just push on the Hanan. Okay. Okay, good. Praise the Lord. I went into Apple, which is a little bit different. And you, okay, and then push control and F. And okay, now just push start and let's listen. Put up the sound. This is in 1990. That was maybe some years ago. So I'm teaching these house church leaders. I'm leading them in singing and worshiping. So we're singing a song that I taught them, and it's crowded. These are all preachers. So there's people in every room. And like I say, every day we begin at 4:30 in the morning for prayer, teach them about 8 hours a day, and pray for the people. And simple, common, farmer people, not educated people, receive the Holy Spirit. They're singing Psalms 150. This is a leadership meeting in 1989. This is the leaders in that area. They're singing from the Bible. We love to sing the Bible. These are the children all praying in the Holy Spirit. Everyone prays in tongues when they pray in China. Now, many of them are preachers. You can imagine that 20-some years ago. These are preachers. We don't have any prayer mats or any carpet. These are where we train the leaders. They're praying for revival, kneeling on the stone. They're praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And one after another, they speak like that. This is another prophet, Andre, 1994. We took in prophets in America to impart gifts of the Holy Spirit to these preachers in Anhui. This group is the one that's going to 300,000 people now. And my daughter is super for this man. Put it aside a little bit.
You have many friends over there.
Amen.
They've seen your faces on video. In the night, I can see your faces.
They're so hungry for God. You'll never preach less than 3 hours in one message. Every day, 8 to 10 hours. And then they'll take like a 20-minute break. No place to sit down. These are preachers just having soup and a steamed bread. You know, that time they didn't have vehicles. They'd come in their bicycles. But
you've had a desire to care for the prophecy. Flock of God. And the excellency of the...
They're leading the songs. No keyboard, no instrument, but they have the joy of the Lord. Now, this was some 20-some years ago. This is recently 4,000 people gathered to preach the gospel. Of course, this is not legal, but who cares? The commission is to preach the gospel. And like I said, it's hard to put 4,000 people in prison. And they're singing, "Nothing is impossible for you." This is recently, this is what I do all the time. We have about 1,000 people here. This is where the fires of revival, you go here, you're like going back to the book of Acts. Everyone has seen and experienced the power of God and miracles, and no one is here that hasn't been in prison or arrested at least once. And so they gather 1,000 people together, and the meeting will go on for several days. This is called the Galilee of China, where Jesus chose and trained his disciples. He's praying for the power of the Holy Spirit to come. So my subject is revival in the church. Revival in the church. That is what everyone wants to hear. They want to know about the Holy Spirit. I said the ministry of the church is not like a business. It is preaching the kingdom of God. And that only comes when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. So we pray for the people, and the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and they speak in tongues. It's wonderful what God is doing in China today. Now, 15% of the people here are Christians, and this has seen the most persecution of any part of China, but it's the largest province. There's 120 million people that live in this province right alone, and they are sending missionaries all over the world. Hallelujah. Revival in our day. Praise the Lord. Amen. You can put back on the PowerPoint, just put escape, and then go down to where you see the PowerPoint thing, and then, okay, praise the Lord. Okay, so then just go slideshow from the present. Okay, now, I'm going to talk about another subject you may like to hear about, but it's part of it, persecution. Jesus said that they called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more they will call those of his household. Now, we talked about the word that comes forth, and we know that there's a word that comes on the stony place. But there's these people hear the word, and immediately they receive it with joy. It's like a big crusade, evangelical meeting. Oh, we see it all the time, with joy. But there's no root. There's no root. And it only endures for a while, because when tribulation or persecution comes through the word, the logos, immediately he stumbles. So those that receive the word will face persecution. But Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father and his holy angels. Never be ashamed. Never be ashamed of the gospel. Never be ashamed of the full gospel, the Pentecostal message. And never bow your head. We heard the examples this morning in Korea where people were executed, were just having the Bible, and meetings where people were threatened. And we have the same thing in China. I like the scripture. Paul had a call to go to Jerusalem. People gave him prophecies. They told him he's going to suffer. Every single city, he said there's going to be trains and tribulation. If someone gave you a prophecy where the next place you're going to go to, you're going to end up in prison. Are you going to go? But Paul said, these things don't move me. I don't count my life dear to myself, that I can finish my race with joy and the ministry which I've received from the Lord Jesus to testify of his grace. So be faithful to the call on your life. We're all called to be disciples, to present our body as a living sacrifice, as it says in Hebrews chapter 12. And many missionaries were martyred. There's a China in the mission. It grew from strength to strength. These are some of the martyred missionaries. Do you know, in one period of time in 1900, in 3 months, there were 45,000 Chinese Christians were beheaded, and 266 Western missionaries were beheaded just in the period of 2 months in China. Now, the first missionary went to China in A.D. 635. His name was Alapan from Persia, Nestorian church, and they did preach a redeeming gospel, but they unfortunately did not have grassroots ministries, mostly among the nobility. But from that time until now, a total of 250,000 missionaries and Chinese have been martyred for the Christian faith. You know, but there's this saying that goes back to the first, second, third century, that the blood of the martyrs, Tertullian said this, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. So we have more martyrs in China than any place. Many of my friends have been martyred. All of them have been in prison. We have more martyrs in the nation, but we have more Christians than any nation. These are some of the missionaries that went. Thousands of missionaries from the West came in much hardship and misunderstanding. Why did they do this? Look at this missionary in the stockade. Look at these Christians being openly humiliated and will spend their time in prison. This has actually happened in the last century. These are some of the thousands of Catholic missionaries that were martyred for their faith. These are some of the Protestant Chinese pastors that were martyred for their faith in the 19th and 20th century. These are the missionaries of China Inland Mission that were martyred. Whole families had their heads cut off. Why did they do this? Why did they do this? This is Robert Morrison, the first missionary, 1807, that went to China. Wang Mingdao is called the father of the house church. He could have been free, but he refused to compromise in his faith and compromise with the official church. And he was released to be a pastor of the official church. He said, I will not, because they will not let me preach on the return of Christ, on the judgment of Christ, on salvation. So he was put in prison for 28 years. But he said later on, his wife wasn't there, no Bible. It was a 28-year honeymoon with Jesus Christ. Even today, his books are not allowed in China, but he's called the father of the house church in China. There's only one answer. Why did these people suffer? Because Jesus came and died this way. I talk to people all the time in China. They say, Jesus died for me. I should die for him. Just to suffer doesn't mean anything. They think it's a privilege to suffer for Jesus. This is a message I don't think that anyone could preach in America. I would not be invited back. No one would listen to this. They wouldn't want it even one time, not to talk about the second time. But this is what I preach in China. These are all our friends in China. And they've all been in prison. This guy, I've been in prison with him before, you know. Brother Yun, I've been in prison with him before. They've all been in prison, but they're the most famous leaders in China. I was recently in Henan, which is the south of the river, and there's now officially 93 million people. But people say it's over 100 million. This is the greatest revival. This particular one county has 23 million people in it. The emperors of China were in this area. These are some of the famous leaders of China. And now it's famous because of another reason. Look at this. This is in the newspaper all over the world. A house church persecuted by the Nanyang police. Remember, this is the most biggest part of the county of the biggest province. Famous American pastor Dennis Balcom came under house arrest. And so it says here in April that the province known for persecution of Christians, Henan, Nanyang City, a house church was raided by the police, and the well-known American church leader, Reverend Dennis Balcom, was arrested by the police. And his whereabouts is now not known. It talks about the people that were in the meeting. Not a lot of people. And it was put on by this Fong Cheng Fellowship that's grown from 20,000 to 5 million people since 1980 because of the Holy Spirit. Now, the people that put out this particular report, I contacted. I said, didn't you think of calling me on my phone or sending me an email? You know, I was only under hotel house arrest. And I had a real nice visit with the police. We couldn't have the meeting, but, you know, they... head policeman said, Mr. Balcom, you know, you've broken the law. Any meeting over 30 people must get permission from the government. You've broken the law. I could kick you out of China and never let you come back again. But I'm not going to do that. Here's your passport back. You're welcome to come anytime. Please come and preach more for us. I said, why? Because you're a good preacher. You preach the truth. In fact, I listen to you every week on the internet. This is the head policeman. They block our website in China, but of course the police, you know, you can ask Snowden about, you know, about internet problems. But they listen to my sermon every week. And so I got back to Hong Kong and I get a letter. Of course, the State Department contacted me, the American Embassy contacted me, all the news agencies contacted me. I'm waiting for a call from President Obama. How are you doing, Brother Balcom? We're being praying for you, you know. He didn't call me, but I mean, everybody contacted me. And I said, oh, no problem, no problem. I'm a missionary in China and things are great. So they wrote a letter and they said, we're the director of the Anti-Cult Society. I'm contacting you on your last visit to Henan, the authorities, the police introduced you to us. We know you're a famous, highly respected pastor with a sense of righteousness and fervent for religious affairs. This is known by all. And they talked about this cult called the Almighty God that's very destructive. And they want to work with me to come against the cult. So just a few weeks ago, I went back with my son-in-law, and the police met me at the airport. And they said, now this is a situation. We have 4 million people in this cult, and it's growing, and so we don't know what to do. Please help us. I said, you know, you want me to help you? What you need to do is open up China for the gospel. The only way that you'll be able to distinguish from the know the difference between the counterfeit and the real is to let people see the real. Why do you have cults in China? Because people don't hear the gospel. And these cult people, they don't care. They're not afraid of anything. You need to let everybody in China have a Bible. You need to let every bookstore sell the Bible. You need to let us preach the gospel on the radio, on the television. You need to let us get in the public schools. And then the people will know the true. And when the false comes around, they will recognize that it's a false. So they're all taking notes. Okay, we'll get back to you. We're going to go to Beijing and see if they'll accept your suggestion. Praise the Lord. Amazing. Coming to me, a missionary, asking what kind of a religious policy. This is that group. And, you know, in China, we have a lot of bad people. We have poison milk. We have a lot of poison food. And we have even eggs that are fake. These are fake eggs. It's just made out of, out of chemicals. You can imagine that an egg that you can throw it on the ground and it will bounce like a ball because it's a fake egg. But we have these things in China. Then we have this Almighty God cult, and it's a terrible cult. And they've been talking about the end of the world. You know, the prophecy, December the 21st last year, they promoted that. And they kidnapped people. They tried to kidnap me last year. They've kidnapped many people. They poisoned people. They threatened people. They've murdered people. They use sex. The headquarters is in New York, and they want me to find the people in charge of it. And I know who they are, but I'm trying to find them. I don't know. You need to pray that God will give me a James Bond kind of a mind. You need to find these people, because I want to find these people, the head of it, that are cheating so many people. And so we have the gifts of discerning of spirits. This is one of the gifts of the Spirit. And here Paul, someone is prophesying, and he says, hey, that's not of God. She's speaking. These are people that are preaching the truth. He said, that is not of God. He commanded, and the Spirit came out. These are some of these Eastern Lightning people that came to my office a few months ago. And the Lord told me that they are Eastern Lightning. They're trying to convert me. No one's in the office. 4 women, very evil women. And I said, you're Eastern Lightning, right? And they were shocked that I would know. The Lord told me. And I got my camera, and they begin to fight with me, and 4 women against 1 man. I don't know Chinese Kung Fu. They know Chinese Kung Fu. And I just prayed, and I got the pictures of 2 of them. And praise the Lord, I said, the police are coming to arrest you. And so they were afraid, and they took off. And these pictures are now all over China, all points bulletin to arrest these evil people. You know, I lead an exciting life. I don't know what people are doing here in America. You need to come to China. Things are exciting. But I'll be done in just a few minutes to show how we need the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You see, in America, we have cults, you know, like David Koresh. You know, Japan, this particular man put out the sarin gas and killed many people. A Jim Jones cult, 1,000 people died. You know, we have all these evil things, you know, David Koresh and so on and so forth. The Heaven's Gate, and which many people committed suicide to go and join a comet that they thought they were going to go to heaven on. And then we have people that don't believe in the Holy Spirit. Like, this is a famous Chinese preacher. He teaches philosophy, very much against the Holy Spirit. We need to preach the truth. Praise the Lord. And in the Cultural Revolution, God moved so greatly. I'm just going to take 2 minutes to go through this. This started in 1965 or so. It went to 1976. And there was such persecution. The Lord says, the wrath of men shall praise you. The remainder of wrath you shall destroy. They had only one book. It's this book, The Thoughts of Chairman Mao. This was the red book. They would sing a song, The East is Red. No Bible was allowed. Anybody with a Bible would be put in prison. They would be beaten up. Every Bible without exception in China was confiscated. But that's when the church became a spirit-filled church. That's when the Christians prayed. And they began to speak in tongues. And they had boldness. That's when the church began to blossom in the most impossible time. So even if they were not raptured in the time of the tribulation, I want you to know that'll be the time of the greatest harvest. Because this is what happened in China. Now, they said, we're going to destroy the old and we're going to build the new. They destroyed everything that was religious, Buddha statues, Christian crucifixes, Bibles, the Quran. It's good. You can destroy even the Bible and the crucifix, but you cannot destroy the work of the Holy Spirit in people. But they destroyed the Buddha statues and all the temples, and Buddhist monks were put in prison, were closed down, and They worship Chairman Mao. They would sing "Long Live Chairman Mao." This is in Chinese. "Wan Sui Mao Zuxi." Everyone sang that. Every Bible in China was destroyed and confiscated. The preachers were put in prison. They were sent to labor camp. Many were murdered by the Red Guards, and the persecution led many others to suicide. Now, when China opened in 1978, I was probably the first missionary to go in. I could speak the language. I went to a place in Guangxi. I found 40,000 Christians. And I said, "Do you have any Bibles?" "Yes, we have one Bible for 40,000 Christians." I said, "I know what I'm going to do with the rest of my life. I'm going to give you people the Bible." We begin a ministry, Donkeys for Jesus. We've taken over 12 million Bibles to China. But I pray that in the next 5 years I can take another 5 million Bibles. The good news is we can buy them in China now. We can buy the Bibles if we have the funds. We can't get a huge amount. We can get maybe every year 300,000, 500,000, and then we take them in. But I'm saying this because people need the Word of God. You know, David Shepherd's teaching, we've taken in 10,000 copies. We hope that we get the finance to print another 100,000 because everybody wants it with the Word of God and good teaching. But just let me close on this. You know how much do you value the Word of God? They really value the Word of God. When I began to take in Bibles, people would just weep and rejoice and just happy to get one Bible. I said, "What have you been using?" Well, they said, "We only had hand-copied Bibles." The man that produced this Bible was a communist. You couldn't even buy paper at that time because the government knew the church was so strong. He said, "No one can buy paper or notebooks." He used official government paper. He was a secret believer. On the side of the paper, he copied one of the 66 books of the Bible. I'll tell you what in a second. This is another one. It was just someone got a notepad and copied one of the 66 books of the Bible. Now, if you're in a place like China, it might happen in America, and you're in prison, and someone says, "I'll copy," or maybe you're released from prison, "I will copy one of the 66 books of the Bible." What book would you like? Would you like Leviticus or Numbers? Probably not. Well, maybe you say, "I like John or Mark or the Gospel." You're a Christian. What book would be the most helpful? These were all the book of Acts. 80% of them are the book of Acts. It tells you how to pray, how to evangelize. It tells you what happens when you get in prison. There are several examples in the book of Acts. No wonder they're spirit-filled, because that was the book they read and memorized and believed in, the book of Acts. Read it, memorize it, and live by the book of Acts, because that is the pattern for the church today. One brother was so bold that he actually produced by hand the whole New Testament by hand, using a silkscreen mimeograph process. Eventually, they found out, and he was executed for this. He was executed for giving them the New Testament. Now, I have been detained several times in China. One reason is for taking people Bibles. The first time back in 1983, I had a trial. I mean, they treated me like a criminal. "Mr. Balcom, you're a terrible man. You've committed terrible crimes. You know, you have been taking in Bibles and perverting the youth of our nation." And I said, "Well, you know how many Bibles?" "So yes, we have an exact figure. You've taken in 16,000 Bibles. By that time, I'd taken in 65,000 Bibles. They didn't really know. Praise the Lord. And, you know, we've paid a price. Many of us have gone to prison for the Bible. This man was executed. They gave me this book back in 1987, The Life, the Teachings of Jesus. This book is actually a Bible book with the pictures in it. We've reproduced this because they like this. And you see the pictures. Jesus is depicted as a Chinese. It's not a foreign religion. Now, why I'm showing this is because Christianity should never come as a Western religion. If you go to Nigeria, Jesus is Nigerian. If you go to Japan, Jesus is Japanese. If you go to Colombia, he's a Colombian. If you go to China, he is a Chinese, 100% Chinese. By the way, this was the only Bible they had. It was over 100 years old, and they used it for 100 years. Every time the police came by, they would probably put it in the ground. And so we reproduce this, and because this is a classic, I would not sell it for any amount of money, but we have reproduced this, and the government, praise the Lord, it's changing. They will let us sell this in the bookstore in China. It's called The Life and Teachings of Jesus. It's not the whole Bible, but it's a story. And so this man was supposed to take over, and had he taken over, China today would have been like North Korea, because he was a friend of the Gang of Four, Jiang Qing, who was Chairman Mao's wife. And she was such a hateful woman. She started the revolution that killed 10 million people. She said, "I will eliminate Christianity from China," like Kim Jong-un and these leaders of North Korea. "There will not be a single Christian in China." She tried to do that. And she wanted her man to take over the government because Chairman Mao was old and frail. But what happened after Chairman Mao died, September 9th, 1976, these Gang of Four were all arrested, went to prison, all died, and this man opened up China in 1978. It's been open for 34 years because of the Word of God, because of the prayers, because of the presence of God. We have a ministry of taking Bibles to China. We do this every day of the week. We invite you to come. Any money given will help to take in the Bibles. We have every week. We tell you how to cross the customs. We're excellent Bible smugglers. We know how to do it. We get 98% through without even getting stopped. It's exciting. Every day we have teams coming. Have your own people. It's not expensive. It's meaningful. We have what we call the body ministry. We put the Bibles on our body. Praise the Lord. And you can actually take 40 Bibles right on your own body. Praise the Lord. And some groups take 10,000 in one day. Here's a man taking the body ministry materials into China. And you can then see God bless the people in China. 98% of the people get through, and they're so blessed with the Word of God. This is my story. I thank you for letting me take the time to share it with you. I'm sorry for going over time. God bless you very greatly. Amen.